Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here this morning. Christmas time is here, unfortunately, for some of us. I heard something unique. Says, you see that shed out there? That's where my Christmas is at, because my Christmas tree don't come out until 1st of December. But as Christmas time comes around, people are already asking me, well, what's on your list? You're supposed to have a list. I'm not really worried or concerned about it. People are concerned whether there'll be enough presents to go around, toys for the kids, whatever you're going to buy. We're going to be out of stuff. Or you're going to have to pay so much. What's the price? You were bought at a price. Price uncomparable to any of the things that we could imagine. Only imaginable from the kingdom of heaven. We're bought at a price. And it's unique. The verses in 1 Corinthians that we're going to look at this morning from God's holy word that talk about being bought at a price. Mention multiple things that affect our lives and affected the lives of those in the church at Corinth at that time. In our passage this morning, it reminded me of this song, and I asked Brother Brad to have it as invitation song, but I would like for us to think we were bought with a price. Jesus paid it all. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone. Came and changed the leper spots, and it melt the heart of stone. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, he washed, yeah. He washed it white as snow. The price that was paid was to pay to cover our sins, to take our sins away. And it was a great price to pay. And as we look at the things that in God's word this morning that were so ugly and so staining as leper spots, as hearts of stone, of weakness, of all those things, Jesus came to take those things away with his grace and his mercy and his love and his blood. Passage that Brother Tom read for us this morning. I have a few highlighted things for us to take special note of, if you would, please. Keeping the commandments of God is what matters. The world wants you to think about what people have and they don't have. They want you to think about the haves and the have-nots. They want to think about what people are treated like years ago or being treated like today, which then in themselves aren't a bad thing to do. But when that takes a preeminence over keeping the commandments of God, folks, people have lost sight of what's important, kingdom of heaven. Keeping the commandments of God is what matters above all things. Because even in Corinth, people are called at different times in their lives in different situations. Not everybody had the same means. Not everybody had the same bank account. Not everybody had the same opportunities, even back then, through the history of time. Cain had a responsibility and Abel had a responsibility. They both didn't do the same thing. They both didn't have the same things. It's never been that way, brothers and sisters. It's the way God's created us, each one. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. Be content with the things you have that God's blessed you with. Not complacent, not contrary, not as a sluggard. We talked about in class this morning. But to be energized and rejuvenated and encouraged and uplifted and edified by His love, by His commandments. See, that's what people want. Oh, commandments aren't good. Rules are not good. But you were bought at a price. And then God's holy word says, do not become slaves of men. Do not become slaves of men. After He says you've been bought with a price, your value, your worth, who you are. So what do we become slaves to? What's that mean, become slaves of men? Well, let's look at God's word and see what He might mention, some things that make us become slaves of men. 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 11. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren, but brother goes to brother against brothers goes, excuse me, but brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators or idolaters or adulterers or homosexuals or sodomites or thieves or covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. How many of us have a matter against someone in our lives? All of us. Sometimes it's a daily occurrence. I take issue with that. See, I can just say, you know, I never took a brother to court. I really never wanted to sue somebody. Then you just let this passage go and it doesn't affect your life. But if you ask from a term, you know what? Do I ever had a matter against somebody? Have I ever had an issue with my wife? Have I ever had an issue with my husband? Have I ever had an issue with my father-in-law? My son-in-law? God doesn't leave us null and void. He says, Where are you going for your guidance? Where are you going for your judgment? Are you going to the experts, so-called experts? Are you going to a lawyer? Are you going to Jesus? Are you going to one of your brothers or sisters in Christ to talk about something that's on your heart, something that matters? Folks, if we can't sit down at a table against one another and open our hearts and say, you know what, Brother Adam, this is my opinion. This is how I feel about it. Now, he knows that that's the way I am. And sometimes he's like, I don't want to hear that. But he listens. And I appreciate that. Because he's my brother in Christ. Not just because he's my son-in-law, he's my brother in Christ. Some of us haven't matured enough to sit down and look at each other in the eye and say, I've got some issues. I've got a matter against you. What we do is, here's what talked about in the scripture. I'm going to take you to court. I'm going to go over here and have a little click, and I'm going to have, hey, what do you think, DC, what do you think about Brad? And Lynn? Totally unacceptable for a child of God. Because it's written. First off, examine yourself to make sure it's even an issue. Okay? So after you've done all those things, potentially, and applied that scripture to your thoughts and your mind and your heart, think about what Paul says to the Corinthians. Why do you not rather accept wrong? That's tough. I know I'm right, but I'm not going to say nothing. And Brother Adam says, I wish you'd do that once in a while with me. Just kidding you. Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No greater example than Jesus. Beaten, cursed, murdered, talked about behind his back, misunderstood. And he was the most loving, kind, generous, forgiving, forbearing, knowledgeable, expert. We could go on and on about what Jesus brings to us and had brought to those people at that time. Sometimes being like Jesus is tough. Accepting wrong, okay, and being cheated. I don't know about you, but it boils my blood a little bit to be lied to. You that are parents, when your kids try and learn that little, well, that's not what happened. I think you're lying. Being cheated. Boy, was Jesus lied to and lied about. But yet, he still paid it all. He still bought us with a great price. He went above and beyond. He sanctified us. He washed us. He justified us. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Folks, brothers and sisters and friends, please do not be deceived. All dogs don't go to heaven. Like Hollywood wants us to think. Okay? If there is a dog heaven, I mean, I've had some good dogs and some bad dogs. Ooh! Anyways. Brothers and sisters, there's few. God's word tells us, we struggle with accepting that. It's in our Bible lesson this morning. It reminded us. Broad is the gate, narrow is the way, full of love and opportunity and happiness and forgiveness. Great is the price that we are bought by. Few will take it. Few will take it. And yet, as people cheat Jesus and cheat the God, the Word of God, and cheat the church and wrong the church, we need to still forgive them. And we still need to keep going, just like Jesus did. Let's not be deceived, folks. Sinful people, unless they repent, are not going to live for eternity with Jesus. Just plain and simple. That's the fact. That's the truth. We continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach, and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. My precious daughter, Hannah, has one of her cliches and sayings, which I think is precious, because I thought about it this week. I thought about telling her something, and I thought, well, that might not be helpful. Even though it's the truth, it might not be helpful. And she says that, doesn't she? I don't think that's helpful, Dad. That's another way of saying, I really don't want to hear it, maybe, but still, for us to consider when we know the truth and what the truth is, not all things are helpful. We need to know when to cast our pearls before people that want to see pearls and retain them and not cast them in front of swine. We need to know when not to be brought to power, be brought under the power of anything else. Food, power of food. We got all kinds of diets and all kinds of habits and all kinds of favorites and all kinds of things going on in here. God's word talks about, uses this as an illustration, not to be brought under the power of that. And under the power of sexual immorality. It's more prevalent now than it ever has been because of social media and because of our access to it. It's almost impossible to be sheltered from sexual immorality. But when we're tempted with those things, we recognize that our bodies are members of Christ. We need to remember when we're tempted that we kneel at the cross. That's why I put this picture up here. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Don't be brought under the power of anything except for the power of Jesus. Something keeps you from loving and forgiving and being kind and tender-hearted. Don't be brought under the power of that. Remember that you are Christ's. Like on the previous verse, remember. Can't go back for some reason. That you're saved. You're cleansed. You're sanctified. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our lesson text this morning talks about being bought with a price and what people would exchange for that price. And people exchange sin for salvation. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost and reverse that and give salvation to cover sins. Glorify in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are not your own. That's kind of unique to think about this from a perspective, but you are either under the control and the power of God or under the control of yourself or of evil, sin, Satan. So we have that choice to make one way or the other. Are we going to accept the price that was paid for us, pay homage to Him, stay loyal to Him until death? I appreciate why we gather to remind ourselves that we are bought with a price on Sundays. Simply put, we sing songs that remind us of our commitment and of our salvation and of our hope. And of the love that was brought to us. We look at God's word. Yeah, some of these passages are kind of strong, maybe. But folks, our young people are affected and are bombarded with strong stuff, sinful stuff, ungodly stuff. And the power of God's word has the power to enlighten their hearts and minds and help them recognize the price that was paid for them and the way, the truth, and the life. You were bought at a price. This morning, these are the things that we read about in God's holy word. Keeping the commandments of God is what matters. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. All things are not helpful. I will not be brought under the power of any. Your bodies are members of Christ. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, for you were bought at a price. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you haven't had your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, if you haven't come in contact with His love and His grace and His mercy, we invite you to do that this morning. If you have any need of the congregation, we love you, we care about you. If you've forgotten that you were bought with a price, make it new in your heart as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.